Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpiny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, September 16th, 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Krista C. Baer, Head of Institutional Investors FX Sales for EMEA. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Afternoon, Chris.
Listen, we're seeing the US dollar advancing further today after a strong performance this week, but the yen is even outperforming the dollar. I'm assuming this reflects concerns over intervention after comments by Tokyo. Could these words of concern be a turning point for the yen?
I would be surprised. Firstly, I do think it's understandable. You know, the level of concern expressed on Wednesday was very, very clear. So we had two separate episodes of comments from Finance Minister Suzuki. Then we also had comments from Vice Minister for International Affairs Kanda. And the comments that they were making, it was very, very clear that the threshold in Tokyo for acceptance of yen weakness is definitely hitting its limits. And then, of course, we also had the reports of the BOJ checking rates, which again is a textbook example of Tokyo sending a signal that their kind of tolerance has run out. So we are, I think, at the final stage before actual intervention would take place. And I think the markets have noted that, and hence we've had the dollar-yen rate failing to advance in conjunction with the rest of the dollar. And as you said, actually outperforming today as we look at the screens. But, you know, I think the history of intervention is not great in terms of success. Firstly, in terms of just comments alone, of course, this is the second episode because we did have a statement in June, on the 10th of June, from the BOJ, the MOF, and the FSA expressing concern about yen weakness. That did have an impact. In the one-month period following that statement, the yen was the second best performing G10 currency versus the US dollar. Then the following month after that, the performance started to slip. And in the last month, the yen has been the worst performing currency. So, you know, the impact fades on words alone. I think speed is important. In the 10 trading days up to that statement in June, dollar yen had jumped by 5.5%. You fast forward to this week, in a 13-day period up to Wednesday, dollar yen jumped by 6%. So the speed of the move is very important. And I think from a G10 or G20 remit of behaviors of countries in terms of intervention in foreign exchange markets, the justification comes from, as was described this week, as excessive moves, unruly moves, sudden moves. And that would be, I think, the context in which you could get justifiable intervention from a Tokyo perspective. But we're not there yet. I think obviously if the move calms down, then, you know, I think that the prospects are that it's unlikely they'll intervene, because I think there's a deep, deep reluctance to intervene when you have such a pronounced fundamental backdrop that screams dollar yen higher because of the massive divergence in policy. And just to very quickly take you back to the last and one and only period of yen buying intervention since deflation began in Japan in 1995. And that was the period between November 97 and June 1998. Japan purchased the yen on 11 separate occasions to stop the move higher. But the real key moment was on the 17th of June, in 1998, when both the BOJ and the Fed intervened to buy the yen. in coordinated actions on that day. And there were statements released by the US Treasury, by the Prime Minister in Japan at the time, emphasizing efforts to make to address the banking crisis at the time in Japan, which was one of the negative fundamentals for Japan and why the BOJ's policy rate was so low. And that had a big impact, a 9% drop in dollar-yen on the back of, well, in the run into the intervention and on the back of the intervention over a three-day period. But then over the next 6 days, dollar-yen rallied back up and went beyond the level of intervention by the Fed. So even joint credible intervention, it's lacking in impact if the fundamentals don't change. Now, dollar-yen did start to fall, but only after the Asian financial crisis spread to Russia. Then we had the hedge fund LTCM collapse in September. And then on the 29th of September in 1998, the Fed cut rates and then dollar-yen collapsed. So the 98 example is a textbook example of telling you intervention in itself won't work until the fundamentals change. And I don't think we're anywhere near, at this point, the fundamentals changing. And therefore, even if we did get actual intervention, I think that would probably be taken as an opportunity for rebuying dollar-yen at lower levels.
Well, next week is a big week, of course, with some central bank meetings. How do you think the FX markets will respond to all these central bank meetings? Are there any other events we should look out for that might move the FX broader financial markets?
It's a big week next week. So, you know, not only do we have the Fed, but we have the Bank of England, we have the SNB, we have the Riksbank, and we have the Norges Bank. So a host of central bank actions. Every central bank will raise rates. I'm sorry, we have the BOJ. The BOJ, of course, will be the only central bank that won't raise rates, going back to what I was just talking about in terms of the fundamentals not really changing to favor lower dollar yen. We don't think Governor Kuroda will change yield curve control. That ultimately has to change as a policy, as well as the Fed moving to the sidelines, we think, before dollar-yen moves lower. And we just don't think Governor Kuroda is in a position to do that, especially after what he said in Jackson Hole, in terms of the only course of action for the BOJ is to keep easing policy. The Fed, we expect 75 basis points. The market is kind of 50-50 on between 75 and 100. We don't think they do 100. We think that just kind of looks a little bit panicky, and they're moving aggressively anyway. So I think 75 basis points makes more sense to us. The dots profile, though, because we will be getting the summary of economic projections from the Fed next week, they are likely to show a higher terminal rate in 2023, possibly 50 basis points more, which would take you up close to where the Fed funds futures implied terminal rate is today, which is close to 4.5%. It'll certainly be 25 basis points, possibly 50. So the message from the Fed will be kind of endorsing what's priced into the market today. And of course, we'll still get a very hawkish press conference from Fed Chair Powell. SMB priced between 75 and 100 as well. I think they'll certainly do 75 in terms of following what the ECB has done. Riksbank and Norges Bank, certainly 50 to 75 basis points. And then the Bank of England, which, if there's any central bank that will go less aggressively, it could be the Bank of England. We've had very weak retail sales figures today. So, you know, the hit in terms of the cost of living crisis is much, much more evident here. And in the context of what the Bank of England is projecting going forward, even with the fiscal support that's coming, there is still justification for perhaps a more cautious stance from the Bank of England. So if they do 50 basis points and everybody else is doing 75 or possibly even 100, the risks are still to the downside in terms of the pound, which of course has been breaking lower today as well. A lot of action next week. The only other thing then is on Friday, we've got that what's called a fiscal event from the UK government, where we'll get the details of the fiscal support package, the costs involved. And let's see what that brings. But, you know, the budget deficit plus the current account deficit in the UK is reaching eye-watering levels in terms of GDP, possibly 15% of GDP. And if tighter financial conditions are coming, which we think they are, The circumstances are that the pound is going to remain highly sensitive to deteriorating financial conditions. That means the pound will continue to go lower from here.
And then finally, Derek, what about your trade ideas? Would you be so kind as to update our listeners on the trade ideas your research team have at the moment?
Yeah, well, we've been running a long dolly M position from 140 over the last 3 weeks, maybe. Now, based on what I've just said, obviously the risk reward has changed a little bit, because while I don't think intervention would turn the trend in dollar yen until the fundamentals change, of course, if intervention takes place, we could get a fairly brutal initial move to the downside in euro, in dollar yen. And in that context, given the heightened risks, even though we're skeptical of the success of it, we've cut that long dolly M position and taken profit. And we've established then a long Swiss franc position. Swissy really performing well. The SNB's approach to currency intervention has obviously completely changed, with the risks now shifting from deflation to inflation. And that opens up the scale for continued Swiss franc outperformance. And with the scale of tightening across G10 central banks and emerging markets, the hard landing scenario is likely to be priced in more and more going forward. And in those circumstances, the Swiss franc is likely to continue to do well. And then we're running that versus the Australian dollar, I believe. And we've just picked a high beta currency, obviously, in terms of if conditions worsen from here, global growth concerns increase further, then the Swiss franc is going to perform well against the high beta currencies that will suffer the most. And so that's our latest trade idea.
That's great. Thanks very much for that update, Derek. And I wish our listeners a nice week ahead.
Indeed. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.